Hello everyone and welcome to this, our final episode of Series 3 of The Stagey Place with me, your host Elliot Shepherd, and today's guest Sam Diaz, our video and audio producer. Obviously, as our final episode of the series, I just wanted to say before we dive into today's episode, thank you so much to everybody who has supported this podcast right to this very moment. Since last episode with Jake Wabey, who is our video producer, we surpassed over 3,000 listeners, which is absolutely mind-blowing to try to put that in perspective. So I just want to say it's not gone unnoticed how much support has gone into this podcast. So thank you so much to every single person who, whether you've listened to one episode or you've listened to all of them, the support really means a lot. And I don't know when we're going to be returning for even more episodes, but when we do, I'll constantly keep in mind how supportive everyone has been towards this podcast. So really, deep down from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much to every single person who has tuned in. Your support does not go unnoticed. Now on to today's episode, where we are chatting with Sam Diaz, our video and audio producer, who has worked on shows such as Hair and Cinderella at the Turbine Theatre, I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change at the Coliseum, and First Date at the Crazy Cox, which were all streamed throughout lockdown. And this is a really exclusive chat to also talk about what it's like to produce work throughout the past 12 months. So I think you'll really enjoy this episode. So without further ado, here is today's episode, the final episode of Series 3 with Sam Diaz. Hello, Sam. Welcome to The Stagey Place.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. At the time of recording, you've just released Brooklyn as a video and audio producer. How's that been like doing that in lockdown?
It's been amazing being able to still work and create things and get them out into the world.
Yeah, and obviously later on in the episode, we'll talk a little bit more about the other projects that you've been doing throughout lockdown. And it's just like really inspiring to see so much work continuing to be done throughout lockdown and to also get your perspective on it from a backstage technical person. What I really want to ask first of all is, what was a younger Sam Diaz like and how did you get into theatre?
Well, I was recently reminded of a story where I think I was in primary school, so maybe 2002-ish,
yeah,
with a production of Bugsy Malone, and I was too shy to apply to be in it. So my dad made me write a letter to the school, basically begging for them to let me actually be in it, and they said yes.
So your dad went through that process instead of you, and he got you. Did you get the role?
Yeah, only ensemble, but yeah, for little shy me, that was quite a big deal.
I think that's amazing though, because, like, you know, most parents would probably just be like, no, it's fine, you don't have to be in the musical if you don't want to, whereas your dad is actively saying, I want you to be in this musical.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but looking back on it.
And after that experience, was that kind of one of the first experiences that you had with theatre, and actually did it propel you into wanting to be a part of the industry?
Yeah, it's the earliest one I can remember, at least anyway.
Yeah.
And even though it helped me realise that maybe acting wasn't for me, but definitely the technical and backstage side of things, yeah, was really interesting to me.
And did you continue doing that all throughout secondary school and, you know, throughout A-levels or college or universities? Like, what was the pathway that you took?
Yeah, so even though in my actual education I went more towards the computer science and software side of things, I was always doing like live events, shows as spare time.
Yeah. And were you doing a lot of shadowing and all that throughout the educational side of things?
There's definitely people that sort of, I wouldn't say mentor, but people that I looked up to, yeah, that were in a higher place than me and definitely taught me a lot, and I learned a lot from other people, definitely.
And obviously as video and audio now is your career, what was the moment that the door actually opened up for you within the technology side with the arts? And what kind of inspirations were there for you to kind of like go upon when finding out more about video and audio?
So I grew up in a very musical family, which helps quite a lot. And I remember going to see like stadium shows, stuff like the U2 Vertigo tour and the Muse Resistance tour. These massive stages, they put on a massive show, especially Muse. They're very theatrical anyway. And they like to tell the story, yes, in their show, even though it's a music show. It's definitely got like the elements of theatre in it and the storytelling, and seeing all these like massive LED walls and the stages that so cleverly like integrate the album artwork into a stage, and that just sort of really interested me, and I just went home and looked it up on the internet, and it all sort of spiraled out of control from there, really.
So is it a lot of, when you say you're going home and you're looking at it on the internet, were you kind of doing your own self-learning, or was there any courses that you took to kind of like progress that interest in all these, you know, video designs and stadium artworks and stuff like that?
No, it was all self-taught. Yeah. One of the main things that's helped recently was when I went to uni, I went to Surrey, and their stage crew, I was very heavily involved in that. You know, being a uni, that's the place where you can make the mistakes, you can learn a lot from it. And I'm forever grateful for that, because I did make a lot of mistakes, and I do think I've learned quite a lot.
And do you still feel like you've got that leeway to still make mistakes now? Like, you know, if people are listening to this podcast and feeling like they're not really wanting to enter a new part of the industry that they're not familiar with because they're afraid of making mistakes, what do you say to those sorts of people who are afraid of making mistakes?
Oh, everybody makes mistakes. If anybody tells you they haven't made a mistake, they're lying. It's part of being human, and as long as you learn from it, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with making mistakes. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone, you can look back on it and be like, that's what I did wrong, this is how it's not going to happen again, and then for the next time you won't make the same mistake.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm the proud owner of Your Little Theatre. Your Little Theatre is your new place to find pre-loved theatre plays at affordable prices. But we don't just stop there. We also match you with some ace small businesses. Kick back and relax with our Blind Date with a Play, where you receive a mystery theatre play for only £5. Or treat yourself even more and get any of our mystery boxes, which all include at least one theatre play or musical theatre score, plus some trinkets from our ace partners of small businesses, who include Hello You Handmade Co., Little Box Studios, Lucky Pup, Baking Bice Boobs, Luna and the Elephant, Geek Sheet Gifts, A Hella Load of Quirky, Tom Kofed, Totalist Graphics, The Harmony Hub, and Stagey Prints, plus so many more. Thank you so much, Stagey Place, for giving us this opportunity. And remember to use code Stagey Place for 10% off on our website, www.yourlittletheatre.com. Thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of the podcast.
And we're going to be chatting a little bit in a minute about the projects that you've been doing throughout lockdown, which some of them are absolutely incredible. But I want to talk a little bit about pre-lockdown and what life was like and how you actually set up your business as San Diaz and how you actually managed to find your way into working with different companies and different institutions.
So before lockdown, I was working the day job as a software developer and doing all this kind of fun video production-y thing in the evenings and weekends, basically. And it all sort of kicked off where a couple of people that I'd met at Surrey as part of the Musical Theatre Society had written their own musical called Halls. And they got in contact with me afterwards, after they'd written it, and said, you know, do you want to be involved in this? Do you want to make some graphics and help with the tech stuff? And I was like, hell yeah, I do. So we put on a little show as part of the Guildford Fringe Festival in GLive, and that got some interest fairly quickly. And then lockdown happened, and then everything ended up turning into online and like online video. So kind of worked out quite well for me in that respect.
Yeah, it's good that you had that project that is still ongoing, isn't it, Paul? That's one of the ones that is quite predominant on social media, and I know that it's got quite a big casting now. And in terms of release, you've got West End cast members involved in Halls now, which is amazing. But the other projects that you've been involved on throughout lockdown, and I'm just going to list a couple here with the different organisations and companies that you've worked on to release brand new material. You've managed to work on First Date at the Crazy Cox, which was streamed last year. I Love You, Your Perfect Now Change, which was at the London Coliseum. Hair on the Jetty, as well as Cinderella, and both of these productions took place as a part of the Turbine Theatre, and as well as, and I know we spoke about this at the very beginning, Brooklyn, which is a limited online run and is currently streaming at the point of us recording on stream.theatre. For you, Sam, why do you feel digital theatre is so important to our industry? And why has the appetite for it been so strong throughout lockdown, do you think?
For me, it's always been about putting on a show, whatever medium that ends up using, whether it's live or on the internet. It's the process of you have an idea, you think about how you want to implement it, you go through the planning, pre-production, previs, revisions, rehearsals, and then it all comes together and you put it out into the world, like, we made a thing, look at it. And you can still do that on the internet and as digital theatre. And yeah, you don't get the atmosphere or experience of actually being in these beautiful venues, but you still get to watch a show, you get to immerse yourself in the story, you get to watch some talented people do their thing. And especially in lockdown, it's part of a little escape from reality.
Yeah,
For an hour or two, you can just focus on that, like watching a movie, basically, and just immerse yourself in that. And it's quite nice.
And I think what's amazing about these productions that have been out is that you read about them online. Let's say, like, you're reading reviews. I don't know how much reviews you read for the stuff that you do with your work, but it's really nice to see the attention being drawn onto the sound and the lighting and the video design from a lot of articles for the show. And there's that real big appreciation now for visual aspect of a show. And that must feel really nice for you. You were doing halls pre-lockdown and going into lockdown to do all these amazing different shows with different companies and different organisations to get the appreciation for the work that you do when you must slave away for hours trying to find the right shots and right blending between scenes and stuff. It must feel really nice for you to get that appreciation and that acknowledgement from articles.
Yeah, definitely. It's really nice to work with people that have come from the full-on theatre side of things. And then there's me coming from the not so theatre side, and then we come together and we have like the mutual respect and understanding of each other's workflows.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice seeing it all come together, and like everybody helps each other out and all comes together very nicely.
And going from pre-lockdown into lockdown and doing the productions, what was the main difference, do you think, in being able to be in a room? I know that there wasn't really much of a streaming platform, let's say, pre-lockdown, as much as there is now. You know, people are streaming all the time. So I guess that's a massive difference in the fact that people are actually doing it now. But for you, like, what's the most important thing that you've learned whilst working with these companies in lockdown?
It's always about the show. And you can do all this fancy technical stuff. You can film it really nicely, you can do visual effects, you can do creative sound design, whatever. But if you don't have the story and the show that people want to see...
I'm just going to jump in here. Hi everyone, I'm Robin from High Top Design, and you're probably wondering who I am. Well, I'm a graphic designer with over 10 years experience in corporate communications. I've recently been working with Elliot on the new logo for the Stager Place, and I'm the one responsible for the cartoon versions of his guests. But why am I interrupting the interview? I just want to let you guys know that as well as podcast artwork, I can help with lots of other things. Design projects, CVs, photo restorations, websites, magazines, posters, programs, anything like that, just give me a shout. Honestly, no job is too big or too small, and I will work with you to make sure the end result looks awesome. Don't need anything designed? No worries at all. I know you love theatre as you're listening to this podcast, so you will probably like my range of musical theatre prints and badges. I also have a cute range of mushroom pride pins, or I can make you and your family and friends into cartoon versions like the guests of this show. You can find all this and much more on my website, hightop.design, or give me a like and a follow on Instagram and Facebook. I'm hightopdesign on those as well. Anyway, thanks guys. I will now let you get back to the show.
Looking at the productions that you've done, they're all in different kind of spaces. Like, you know, like we say, you've got the London Coliseum, which is absolutely huge and massive. And then you've got the Turbine, which is just so narrowed. And, you know, it's almost like a wind tunnel in a way, the way that it's formed. And then Crazy Cox as well with First Date. Like, you know, that's like a nice, big, spacious area, which obviously did a lot of concert pre-lockdown. How is that adaptability between all the different spaces? And how does it change the way that you go into a process of working with these companies?
Yeah, so seeing how each director and all the teams utilize each space uniqueness and what they can bring to the show in really clever ways, that's just really nice to see. I've been very lucky to work with some great directors like Dean and Kirk, who have this intense vision of what they want it to look like already. So coming into that and using the space so well to get what they want out of it.
So Sam, for anyone interested in video and audio producing, what advice would you give someone who is looking to go into that direction, whether this may be transgressional period throughout college or university or beyond that? Like, what advice would you give people who want to go into video and audio producing?
I'd say first and foremost, it's all about networking. Everything I've been involved with has been through word of mouth and recommendations. Yeah. You know, you can be the most talented in your field, but if people don't know you or like you, then they won't hire you. So get out there, make those connections, even if it's just saying hi or following someone on Twitter and saying, oh, I really liked your work. Make yourself known as a nice person, basically.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think, because obviously I work as a freelance stage manager and I'm constantly jumping between different companies and all that. And I do find that as a stage manager or a lighting designer, like, you have to be a part of the company more than just doing your job. You've got to be able to network, you've got to be able to communicate, you've got to be there on time, you've got to show that you're a person who wants to work with the companies that you're working with. So definitely, I think networking, fundamentally, no matter what job you're doing within the industry, is so important. But I do agree that to be that person who is, like you say, following people on social media, talking to people, giving your views, you know, saying that you like their stuff, that will stick in people's minds quite a lot for people who are just getting out there and actually voicing their opinions on projects from companies. So I think that's absolutely fantastic. Like you said there about being a nice person, it tells so much to a company. If you're looking at CVs or whatever, would you rather work with the person who has all these credits and is just quite narcissistic, or the person who actually doesn't have many credits but has loads of great recommendations that they've had from people? You'd rather go with the person who is just eager and wants to have that credit on their CV and stuff. So I definitely agree with you. I think networking is a fantastic piece of advice.
Hi everyone, my name is Kelly Horn. I'm a freelance movement director and movement and dance teacher, and I have created my own brand, Kelly Horn Movement. Kelly Horn Movement provides movement classes and workshops, and I currently have weekly online movement classes every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. These classes explore something new and different each week and focus on different ranges of movement, from mindful movement to body conditioning, even to contemporary dance. I wanted to create these classes to pass on and share my joy and passion of movement, and offer something that not only boosts creativity, imagination, exploring different ways of moving and allowing people to connect to their bodies, but also promotes physical and mental well-being for performers, creatives, and even people outside of the arts. If you would like to join my weekly classes or even just receive updates about future classes and workshops, head to my website, kellyhornmovement.com. You can also follow me on Instagram. My handle is @kellyhornmovement, and I'm also on Twitter @kellyhornmove. Thank you so much to the Stagey Place for all of the support, and enjoy the rest of the episode, everyone. Bye.
For you post-lockdown, when everything eventually gets back up, what would you like to see happen with your work?
That's a big question. Well, I'd like to continue, obviously, in some capacity, whether that's as digital online things or real life things or a combination of both. Yeah, just creating things, putting them out there, putting on a show, basically.
Sam, I would love to know where your staging place may be. This is something that obviously I ask every guest who comes on the podcast. This could be a local theatre that first inspired your love for performing. It could simply be your favourite venue that is home to your favourite show. It could either be a stadium that you saw Muse at and thought, this is exactly why I want to be in this industry. So Sam, whereabouts is your staging place?
So I don't know if this is breaking the rules a little bit, but I want to say the Surrey Union nightclub Rubik, just because I spent over 5 years there and I learned so much, made so many mistakes, met so many of the people that have shaped my life, basically, and it wouldn't be the same if I hadn't been there.
It's absolutely not breaking the rules, don't worry. I definitely think it's that place, like you say, that you first managed to work your craft, and like you said there, make your mistakes and stuff. So I think that it's absolutely worthwhile to absolutely say that. I say it's a fantastic place. I've never been there, but it's a fantastic place for you, and obviously, like you say, where you grew up and it's where you learned craft, and that's amazing. So Sam, that's it. Thank you so much for coming on to the Stage Place today.
Thanks for having me.
And there we go. That was our final episode of Series 3 of The Stagey Place with today's guest, Sam Diaz. I'd like to thank Sam once again for coming into The Stagey Place. And if you'd like to follow him on Instagram and Twitter, you can do so by checking out @IAmSamDiaz, or you can look at his website, samdiaz.co.uk. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, this is our final episode of Series 3, and I'd just like to say once again, thank you so much to everyone's support over the past 6 weeks or throughout the past year that the podcast has been going for. So thank you so much, and until next time, hopefully when we see each other again in person, in a theatre seat, sat down watching our favourite industry thriving once again, I hope you all keep safe, and I look forward to hear from you soon.